You're listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Here's your host for this week's episode.
Hello, CMDA. This is Pastor Burt Jones, and I'm filling in for our regular host, Dr. Mike Chupp. Here at CMDA, I serve as the Vice President of Missions and Member Care, and one of my favorite parts of my job is getting the opportunity to meet our incredible members all around the globe at a variety of conferences and events each year. I am always inspired by the various ways our CMDA members are bringing the hope and healing of Christ to the world. On this week's episode of CMDA Matters, we invited one of those members to share her story with us. As you'll hear Dr. Mike Chupp talk about at the beginning of the interview, her real name is being concealed for security reasons as she is actively following God's call to serve Him in a cross-cultural mission setting. Keep listening to hear more about the unique way Dr. Catherine Smith is using her skills in healthcare to go out into the nations to share the love of Christ.
Well, today on CMDA Matters, I have a unique ability to interview a physician who is traveling across Africa, a young graduate or practicing consultant medical specialist who's been involved with CMDA for a long time, both as a student and a resident and at times involved in leadership. And because of her plans, she's very excited about medical missions and involved in teaching on multiple continents, including places where, honestly, her identity as a Christ follower, well, it just might close some doors. And so today we've agreed that she's going to go by the pseudonym Dr. Catherine Smith. And Catherine, I've known Catherine for the last few years, highly dedicated to following and obeying Christ. And so, Dr. Smith, thank you for joining us from Lusaka, Zambia today.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
You recently reached the end, Catherine, of a very long journey of training that many of our listeners will be familiar with as undergrad, grad, various lengths of residency, to become recognized as an expert in your field. And you have developed a heart for cross-cultural missions during that training somewhere along the path. Could you unpack for our listeners how that interest or a calling, if you will, developed?
So actually, when I was first thinking about going to medical school in undergrad, I did not plan to be a medical missionary. I thought that was for other people. And then I studied abroad in another country, and I was placed at a rural leprosy hospital. So I spent time at that hospital and interviewing a lot of the leprosy patients. It was during that time that I started becoming interested and thinking about medicine in another country, what that might look like for the very first time. And while I was there, because it was a rural area, I had a lot of alone time with God. And that's when He really gave me His heart for the nations. I would really say it broke my heart for the nations. Mm-hmm. So when I came back to college, I ended up praying for nations very frequently. I would gather other people to pray for nations and hanging out with international students. And basically, it hasn't really ended since then.
You were able to maintain that level of heart interest all throughout your training. And so what were some of the activities that you participated in to keep that flame burning, if you will?
Yeah, well, once I started medical school, I knew that I wanted to do a specialty. And I was a little bit bummed out because I thought that in order to do medical missions, you have to do primary care, emergency medicine, surgery. And I didn't want to do any of those. And so I was talking one evening to a medical missionary who had visited our medical school and was speaking to us, and he was a family practice physician. And so I asked him, you know, what about the fact that I want to do a medical specialty? And he said, actually, that is perfect because there's a lot of places that already have the capability to train their own primary care, emergency medicine, and general surgeons. And now they're looking for specialists mm-hmm. because they don't yet have the ability to train specialists. So he's honestly, I can't recall his name right now, but he was the one who planted that seed that I could do medical missions with a specialty. So I wanted to test out what that would look like. So I arranged a rotation in a country, the country that I had studied abroad in undergrad. And I found a specialist there to work with and do a rotation during medical school as my last rotation in medical school. And then in residency, I did the same thing here in Lusaka, actually. So that's basically how I was testing out what it would look like to do a specialty in another country. And I realized that it actually is very feasible. And the best thing that I could do is to teach and equip others.
Well, we've had a chance to talk in different venues, but the most recent venue would have been in our pre-field training that we had for the first time in Louisville, Kentucky last fall. You were one of the attendees at that pre-field, and it was there that you shared with me, hey, Mike, I'm actually taking some time off before I start practice. So you finish your training, and instead of jumping into practice, say, I am going to serve, and I'm going to move my way across Africa and maybe a couple of other nations. So you're in the middle of that. So tell our listeners about this itinerary that you've got for yourself to expose yourself to several different environments in different countries, in particular in Africa.
I would say that it's not conventional at all to take your year off right after residency and before fellowship. So I plan to do a fellowship for subspecialization. But I decided to do it because it's really quite difficult to arrange a new experience when you're working. Just arranging the logistics with the doctors who are on the ground, figuring out the visa, figuring out the flights, figuring out how does your cell phone work there, where are you going to stay. So I decided that if I wanted to go to a number of different places to teach potentially in the future, it would really make sense to just set aside a year and to go to those places when I had ample time and also time to create the curriculum that I'll be teaching. Mm. And I'm very glad I did that because honestly, it takes a lot more time to create a curriculum and to arrange all these things for multiple trips than I would have expected. So honestly, my itinerary, I would just say, has been created by the Lord, just very organically with different relationships that I've created with different physicians. And a lot of them are actually primary care physicians who want some extra training.
Yeah, my guess is you don't know that many involved in your medical specialty who are serving
right.
Long-term. At least I don't. And there are all kinds of these specialties. And I'm, you know, without zeroing in on yours, certainly as I the ones that come to mind over the years that as I was serving in a mission hospital, I would say, oh, yeah, we almost never get a rheumatologist or we almost never get a nephrologist mm-hmm. or neurologist or dermatologist. And so I really appreciate the advice that you were given, Catherine, that it's okay. If you have a heart and a passion for a particular specialty, God will use that in mighty ways. So would you share with our listeners any highlights so far in this trip across the what we formerly called the Dark Continent? But now I think a lot of light is shining out of Africa.
Yeah, very much so. I would say that I remember someone telling me at one point that just ask God, who can I say yes to today? Because when you're rounding as a consultant in a busy hospital, you can't say yes to everybody, meaning spending time with them, praying with them, listening to how things are for them. And so I've just been asking God, where are those little moments during the day where I can really take a few extra moments and see you work. And so, for example, one day I was working at clinic and I had finished and was talking over some of the inpatients with a resident when I realized that one of the other doctors was still there working when everyone else had left. So I asked her, could I take one of those files that's on your desk? And she was really glad to give it to me because it wasn't actually her patient. It was a patient of another physician who was not there that day. And so she gave it to me, and it turned out to be one of the diseases I'm actually quite interested in. So I was able to examine the patient, reassure her that her disease was not getting worse at that moment. When her husband alluded that there was something possibly stressing her, so I asked her what that was, and she shared the pain that was on her heart. So then I asked, would it be okay if I pray with you? And she just lit up. She was so enthusiastic about it. So she and her husband prayed with me. And afterward, she had just like this very quiet demeanor at first and quite anxious. And that just dissolved. And she was beaming with joy. And she had waited by that point many hours, the whole morning and part of the afternoon, to be seen and to be told that her disease was not getting worse. So I felt bad. But she said, "This is why I came. This must be why I came." And just to feel touched by God. And I realized that that's also partially why I had come that day and why I had lingered behind unintentionally.
Well, Catherine, answering this next question may be a little bit tough, given the fact that we're trying to keep your exact medical specialty under wraps here, confidential. But have you seen your training specifically in your area of specialty meeting an unmet need because no one like you has been around for a while or available?
Yeah, I say that one of the big things is building up confidence for the internal medicine and primary care physicians who are seeing patients with conditions in my specialty. And it's really fun to see the light bulb go on when I explain things to them and they feel more confident. And then on the patient side, there can be a lot of misunderstanding, stigma about different conditions. And they also have a lot of impact in people's lives. If you're not able to get early treatment for something, something that could have been very treatable, all of a sudden becomes very disabling, and that can be a disaster for a patient's whole family, especially if it was the breadwinner who got disabled. And so we see a lot of course, like advanced diseases. So it is exciting when we can diagnose something early and prevent a disease, but even when we're not able to and we see late complications, it is even helpful to help the family members understand what happened and to shed some light there. But also hopefully to train the primary care physicians around us of what we're seeing so that they're equipped the rest of their lives to recognize these things and to treat them early. So it's fun to be able to pass that on to them.
Over the years, as I was in Kenya and would work with residents who had just come away with an experience of someone like yourself for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, I'm quite sure that those sponges that they are, because they're some of the most brightest, most promising young people from their respective countries, have tested out the top, and then they get this medical training, and then they end up in a mission hospital like I was, and they're just sponges, and they come away remembering just almost everything that specialist taught them, and in some respects will not again, especially if they're training like in family medicine residency in Africa, may not ever work with a specialist like you again. And so all of those things that you've taught them, it's going to be in living color what they read out of a textbook. And of course, we know that in adult learning, that kind of learning is just going to stick. Any other thoughts, Catherine, that come to your mind on why those listening who are in various specialties, whether it's subspecialties within surgery or medicine, why they should seriously think about maybe not taking a sabbatical like you have, but certainly considering short-term service and teaching opportunities like you've done?
Yeah, I think a lot of people who are currently practicing in the U.S., medical missions can sound very intimidating because of the time commitment that's typically involved, or the thought that if I go short-term, how much impact will you really have? And I think that's where teaching can have a very great impact because it doesn't take that long to be able to spend time and teach. In fact, some places that I've been in hospitals that I've created connections with, they said that actually 1 week would be better than 1 month because they don't have enough patients in my specialty to be able to spend a whole week. So I could see a few patients, they'd try to bring them in that week. But then I would also give them some extra teaching on many other conditions during that week, mostly concentrating on teaching the trainees, and then they can keep that knowledge. And it is helpful to try to create a relationship with a place that you could come back to year after year, because one of the places I've been, we taught medical students and basically we act as their rotation for that specialty because they don't have it available in their country yet. So the consistency of being able to rely on someone from our specialty coming each year allows them to have experience in that rotation that they didn't have before. So I just want to encourage people in medical specialties that it is really useful to teach and train what you have. And you'll actually have fun trying to learn how to adapt your specialty to a lower resource context.
You have been involved for many years with CMDA. And I know that our folks in campus and community ministry, when I bring up your name, your real name, not your pseudonym, they light up like a Christmas tree because you have been such an encouragement to them. What would you say is a promo for any residents or students who are thinking someday about being residents and fellows about why being a part of the National Resident Fellow community is so important?
Yes, I would say that one thing that's important to understand is that this is really a community. It's not another organization or obligation. And it's really a family that is given to you by God and is eternal. So when you understand it that way, I found that CMDA, as God has given me grace to be involved, it really gives me fuel rather than drains me, as being involved in many things can be draining. And some of the reasons that it gives me that fuel is having that fellowship with others who really understand what it's like in medicine to try to walk the walk and talk the talk, and to work out how can we do that to a deeper and deeper extent every day, and to be able to pray for one another and to receive that encouragement and just fellowship to share your experience. And then CMGA has really helped me, especially in medical school. I had invested some time in listening to, at that time, I think it was Grace Prescriptions, about how do you take a spiritual history, mm-hmm. identify faith flags, pray with patients. That has been such a fulfillment as I've gone through residency, because even when I was doing my busiest rotations, I started to create a habit of just checking in with God at a certain time in my history taking, usually after I finished the entire visit, and kind of seeing like, Lord, can I offer to pray with this person? How, like, just following the Holy Spirit. And very often I would offer, and most of the time they accepted it. And when I would be able to just invite God's presence right there in that moment with two people acknowledging it, almost always people were really touched. One got instantly healed. And when something like that happens, it just fills you with joy and really boosts you for the rest of the day. So I'd say that really being involved, learning how to minister, and having that support, I think it actually prevents burnout in a way that other residents just don't have.
Well, Catherine, so this time, this sabbatical, if you will, after finishing residency, you're going to come, you've told us you're going to go back into fellowship. When you finish all of that training, what is professional life going to look like for you? And clearly the Great Commission is just tugging on your heart. So how are you planning on even now, later on, getting involved in cross-cultural ministry to take care of the least of these?
I mean, so far, this is what I understand, and the Lord can fill in the details, but I think that also in the U.S., there are many things that we can do. And so I plan to try to live in an area where my specialty does not have as much access. And so if I live in that area and have some extra subspecialty training, it keeps people from having to travel even farther to get care. So trying to reach people who don't have access in the U.S. is what I would like to do. But then because it doesn't take that long to go abroad and to teach and equip people, I plan to take some time once or twice a year to go abroad and teach in some of the places where I'm creating relationships this year. The cool thing is that I've prioritized talking about that with potential employers, and so far they have been very open to that, willing to block my clinic schedule so that would be possible.
Those who are serious about following Christ and also are pursuing medicine, what would you say are the strengths of the upcoming next generation of healthcare professionals? And how do you think we at CMDA and other Christians in healthcare can come alongside and leverage those strengths to make a Great Commission workforce that is on fire for their faith and introducing it into their healthcare every day moving forward?
Yeah, as you know, this present generation, this time that we're living in, has had challenges that other generations have never seen before. And I think that that will only continue, especially as we're in the end times. So one of the strengths that I've seen is my generation and the ones after, they've grown up with these crises and they've learned like how to grapple with it, but also the language of how to talk about it. So for example, the COVID pandemic, everyone has been through it in my generation, often during very key, formative, important training years, many in residency and medical school. So that's something, a common experience that we have with all of our peers. So to really dig deep into Christ and to be able to see the difference when you have dug deep into Christ and when you haven't. But also for our current cultural dilemmas, like we know the language and the lingo of how to talk about these issues. And then I'd say, like, also knowing the technological resources that we've grown up with and creative ways to engage an online community, like WhatsApp groups. I found that the trainees are very willing to be part of WhatsApp groups and actively use it. And it's been a little harder to get the older attendings to join us. So I think that those are some of the strengths. But one of the things that we could really use, and this has been true for all generations, is good mentorship, because we don't have the experience yet and wisdom from experience. Although there's many new things in the world, Jesus hasn't changed, and the lessons that we learn from him along the way don't change as well. So there's a lot that we could gain in traveling this road and navigating new issues, learning from the wisdom of people who have walked with Christ before, especially as we have the common temptations of all generations in medicine, which is, you know, approval, good reputation, good work, money, that are vying for our attention.
Well, for that very reason, Catherine, CMDA has been investing over the last many years in trying to develop a mentoring program. Actually, at the National Convention this year, we will be launching the CMDA Mentoring Academy, and we'll have our first cohort of fellows in that mentoring academy. Thanks for opening the door for me to promote this mentoring academy that we've got coming up. As we bring this interview to a close, Catherine, how can they be praying for you in coming weeks and months as you continue this journey on your sabbatical and then after that?
One of the things that God has been emphasizing to me this year is the joy of the Lord and keeping the joy of the Lord in all circumstances, which sounds really great and is in scripture all over the place, but is actually kind of hard to do. And so I would really like prayer to be able to keep the joy of the Lord at all times, because it's not easy to create many different trips where you're going through a lot of culture shock. And also it's difficult to invest in relationships when people know that you're going to be moving on soon. And so, yeah, pray for the joy of the Lord, and also pray for healthy relationships, that I would be able to make relationships that would last even after I leave, that we could stay in touch, and really God-given relationships. And then also pray that each place that I go to, that God would plant that seed of eternal fruit, whatever he wanted to bring me there for, that I would be able to do it in that moment, but also just to start those things that I could build on in the future as I go forward.
Oh, those are, Catherine, some wonderful prayer requests. Thank you. Any other comments that you'd like to make? Again, you're in Lusaka. It's in the evening there. I know there's a 7 or 8 hour time difference. So thanks. I'm just amazed that the internet actually has worked this well for us as we've had this conversation.
Yeah. Thank you for taking the time to listen. And yeah, I hope that this has been helpful for people to think of new ways that God is working, because I know that what I'm doing, it really is just part of something that he is doing. There's many, even non-Christians in my specialty, who are realizing that they need to go and expand this specialty. So it's been really precious, actually, to meet with non-Christians who are in my specialty and wanting to do global medicine, and having just really great conversations with them, because they're very curious about what I'm doing, since it's unconventional.
Well, you're going to find also that when you get back and you're mingling with other resident fellows and attendings, there are going to be small hinges for conversations that could open doors for you to share about your best friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for sharing your calling, your gift with us today on CMDA Matters.
Thank you for having me.
Throughout much of this conversation with Dr. Catherine, I kept thinking about the impact cross-cultural missions, and specifically teaching on the mission field, can have when it comes to building our Lord's kingdom. It's why ministries like our Medical Education International, or MEI, are such a vital part of our work to follow God's call in the Great Commission. If you have a passion for a particular specialty, God can use that passion for missions in a mighty way. there was a great need for Western-trained healthcare professionals to share their knowledge in a variety of ways, like Dr. Smith is doing in countries throughout Africa.
Education is a key component of healthcare missions, and that's why one of CMDA's mission outreach programs is Medical Education International, or MEI. It is a short-term missions program that provides academic teaching and clinical training while building relationships with local colleagues and modeling the compassion, care, and love of Jesus. MEI teams serve primarily in low and middle-income countries, and most teams consist of 2 to 10 fully trained healthcare professionals. For more information, visit cmda.org/MEI.
We've all heard about college students taking a gap year to travel the world, and I love the idea of taking a gap year or a sabbatical year in the midst of healthcare training to focus on missions, like Catherine explained to us today. If you'd like to learn about scholarship opportunities for students, residents, or even graduates to get involved with healthcare missions, be sure to visit us at cmda.org/scholarships. You briefly heard Mike talk about CMDA's pre-field orientation for new healthcare missionaries, which is an annual conference we host. This year it's scheduled for November 4th through 7th at Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky. If you're planning to serve in medium to long-term healthcare missions and have a target departure date within the next 5 years, then this conference is for you. Join fellow outgoing healthcare missionaries and veteran missionary faculty for 4 days of preparation for the field. This gathering will provide you with invaluable tools, knowledge, and relationships that will help you to thrive during your transition to life on the mission field. For more information or to register, visit cmda.org/events. And if you're attending that conference, then be sure to stay a couple days extra in Louisville for the 2024 Global Missions Healthcare Conference. This is the world's largest gathering of healthcare professionals, students, and organizations dedicated to healthcare missions, and it features breakout sessions, plenary speakers, exhibitors, and special events. This year's event is scheduled for November 7th through 9th at Southeast Christian Church, and you can visit cmda.org/events for more information.
There is such value and encouragement in staying connected with other Christians in healthcare. That's why the root of CMDA's ministry is in campus and community ministries, because you shouldn't have to face the hardships and struggles of both your healthcare training and career alone. We are here to walk alongside you and be a resource. With more than 80 local ministry groups and over 320 campus chapters around the country, you can find connection with your colleagues through CMDA. For more information and how to find a group in your area, visit ccm.cmda.org.
On next week's episode, we're turning the microphone over to Reverend Bill Reichert, the Vice President of CMDA's Campus and Community Ministries. On the CMDA Student Pulse podcast, he recently had a conversation with Dr. Haywood Robinson about his journey from doing abortions to now being a strong proponent and advocate for life. We wanted to share this with our CMDA listeners, so be sure to check back when that episode drops. As we bring this episode to a close, I want to share this testimony from a recent MEI trip to Africa. The trip participant said, "During my presentation, one of the men asked my translator, 'How did she know that we needed this information in our village?' I pointed my finger up to heaven, indicating that it was God who directed me to present that talk. Only God knew what they needed to know about, and so I take no glory for this. All glory to Him." What a great reminder that only God knows what His people need. And we are simply following His plans, His direction, and His calling when we serve cross-culturally through healthcare missions. Dr. Catherine, as we called her today, knew that God was calling her to step into this work in Africa, and she is following His leading to help bring the hope and healing of Christ to the world. And we are here to help you do the same, because that's what matters to CMDA, and CMDA matters. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to CMDA Matters. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email cmdamatters@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.